So this morning, we're going to continue our series, G3. I feel I could preach on this for quite a few more Sundays in a row. Anybody getting bored with it?
No.
Everybody being truthful? No one's lying to me, right? And so we've been talking about the attributes of God. Now, I've said this, we need to understand and know who God is. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we better know Him. We better know the Lord. We better understand Him. What, Pastor, you can't understand God. Who said? Your old pastor?
No.
I like that. Your old denomination? Who told you? Who told you you couldn't understand God? Well, our ways are not His ways. You're right. They're not. And I'm not saying you're going to understand everything that God does, but let's go ahead and turn to the Bibles. Turn to Job. Turn to Job chapter 22. You know, before you were saved, you probably thought Job was Job. You thought that little bookmark in your Bible was a nice way to hold it. No one else? All right. Because that's how Eliana carries her Bible. She gets that little bookmark and she just holds the bookmark. She doesn't know it's supposed to be in the Bible holding a place. She thought it's a nice little way to carry the Bible around. So Job chapter 22 and verse 21. This is my main scripture for every time I'm talking about the Trinity here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm not breaking them up into people groups and talking about what each one does is different, but we're going to talk about what they all do as a whole. And one of the things it says here is acquaint now thyself with Him. I like that word acquaint. Get to know the Lord. And let me tell you something. God would never tell you to do something you couldn't do. Well, that's not the way the Lord does it. He doesn't say, hey, get to know me. Jesus, watch them. They're going to waste all their energy. They can't do that. It doesn't surprise God when you get to know Him. That's not the way the Lord works. He doesn't tell you to do something that you cannot do. Now, and so He tells us to acquaint ourselves with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Now, let me say this. This scripture tells us it is impossible to know God at greater levels without growing in peace and without more good coming into your life. The more you know God, the better it's going to get. The more you know you don't have peace in your life, the more you know God, you'll have it. Why? Because the perfect love casts out all fear. When you understand the love God has for you, you understand God's not going to let nothing kill you, nothing take you out, nothing hurt you. And if something comes into your life that's not favorable, God ain't going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to bring you out. That's good to know. That's good to know. So let's just say this. I think we need to understand God in our everyday life. We need to understand God in everyday life. God is not a God who sits in the heavenlies and we can't get a hold of. You know, too long, that's been the mentality of Christians. That's been the mentality of the church. God is out in the ethers and we can't reach Him. We're not worthy to reach Him. Now, I'm not saying this. Don't you dare walk out this place and say that's what Pastor said. No, this is what the church has said for way too long. You can't reach Him. You can't understand Him. You don't talk to Him. You need to go to a man or woman of God and then tell them and then they'll reach God for you. You just don't have the ability to reach God. And you shouldn't go into His throne room either. Well, then quit trying if that's the case. If you're not worthy to go in the presence of God, then don't do it. I've always heard the people, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be in Your presence, but if You'll just grant me this one time. No, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't deserve it, you don't ever deserve it.
Yeah.
And then He's the same every time. He doesn't grant special favors because you begged enough. I mean, when you say it like this, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't realize how ridiculous it was until you start talking about it out loud. No, God says, acquaint yourself with Him so you can know the Lord. And when you know the Lord, it brings something to you. It brings peace. And it brings good into your life. That's the word. I'm just going to say, you don't turn there. But this, you know, we should know God and we should be able to bring Him in everyday life. And one of the things we're going to look at today, we've looked at a little bit in a sermon before, but I had some good questions emailed to me, so I want to look at the subject again and take the whole service to look at this subject. Sovereignty. We've already discussed sovereignty, but we're going to discuss it today in greater detail. I went back over my notes for the Sunday that I brought it up, and I spent half the time talking about it, so I'm going to spend the full time talking about it and answer some of the questions that were sent to me. I loved them. But This is what, whether we're in our office, whether we are with our friends, whether we're in a cafeteria, or whether we're with our kids, no matter where we are, we should be able to bring God into everyday life. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. My parents did this, and I didn't recognize. I didn't know. I'm thankful for the way they did it. I remember, and I'm just going to give you an example. I remember fishing with my dad, and we would go out to Hickory Landing a lot of times. Hickory or Ashley Landing, like you need to know the name. But it's close to Sumatra, Florida. And we would get out into those creeks and go out to the river, Apalachicola River. Say that five times really fast. And so when we would go out to the river, there was a couple places we always hit because it was good fishing. You want to know where it is? I'm not telling you. You don't give your honey holes away. And so we would go into this one little nook, and there was a tree now that was off the bank at an angle. Its trunk was never out of the water. Like I never saw, even when the river got to its lowest, the trunk was always in the water. And I remember we pulled up and we anchored out. And as we're fishing and we're catching good fish, and when all of a sudden there was a moment where the fish wasn't biting as well, I remember my father said, "Son, you see that tree over there?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you know how that tree got there?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Either a seed fell off of one of these trees that are sitting here, or a seed miles away fell off into the river. Maybe this seed fell on the ground and the river overflooded its banks. And when the river receded, the seed came into the water. One way or the other, the seed got into the water. And when it got into the water, it got driven into this bank where it curves. It got driven into this bank and then it grew. It grew out of the bank." And he said, "You know what? When we have a drought, this tree never withers. The leaves never fall off because of a drought. You know why? The river planted this tree. This tree will always be in season. It will always be exactly where it needs to be because the river planted it. When other trees are going without, this tree always will have everything it needs. Everything it needs." And then my dad said, "You know what? The Bible says that's the way Christians should be." And he even told me, he said, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. He quoted it to me. He said that, and it says in Psalms 1 and 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." And my dad said, "That tree should be the body of Christ." And so in all of this, we should be able to bring God in our everyday life. We should bring it to our coworkers. We should bring it to our children. We should bring it to our workplace. We should bring it everywhere. And let me tell you something. In your workplace, I do understand that you can't just quote Bible 24/7. I understand that. But if people ask you for wisdom or ask you what you think, you can tell them why. I remember I didn't even tell people it was the Bible. I was just giving them good advice. And they came to me and said, "How did you get so smart? You're so young. How did you get so smart?" This was quite a few years ago. "How did you get so smart?" I told them, I said, "Everything I'm telling you is nothing that I learned on my own. I said, everything I'm telling you is the Bible." And they're like, "Get out of here." I'm like, "No, that is every advice I've given you is biblical knowledge." And I started telling them where I got it from and showing them in the scriptures. They're like, I never knew that. And that's a problem with the body of Christ and with the world, is they've never known God. They never knew him to the extent that they should. And when you understand God, the Bible tells us it brings peace and it brings good things. It brings good things. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. We're going to read this. These are the scriptures I've been using every Sunday. So the Bible tells us to acquaint ourselves with God. Jeremiah 9 and 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches," verse 24, "but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me." Who's me? God is speaking here. "Yeah, that knoweth and understandeth God." And that's what the Lord says. He says you can know and understand him. But religion, my old pastor, my mama, my daddy, my Aunt Sue, they told me, well, they could be wrong. I'm going to tell you, even your pastor, yeah, this one, could be wrong. I know it's hard for you to believe. It was hard for me when I found out. It happens. So if it's not word of God, you don't have to take it. Hello? So we need to renew our mind according to the word. And it's only the word that will do that. So God says we can understand and know with him. So if you believed you can't understand God or know him, then you were wrong. And guess who was right? The Lord was. So we change what we believe. We change it. Simple. Have you ever been wrong before? Yeah, we all have. So what do you do when you find out you're wrong? You change. You change it. My sister, give you a great example of this. My mother picked up one of the sponges to clean the dishes one time, and the sponge was cut in several places. It was just cut to shreds. You know what happened? My sister was cleaning knives the wrong way. That's a dangerous thing to do, you know that? It is dangerous to clean the knife the wrong way. And so my mother wondering what in the world happened to the sponges. And then my youngest sister, she called her in there because she did the dishes. I said, Tony, what did you do? She said, oh, what do you mean? She said, why are there so many holes, you know, cuts in this sponge? And she's like, oh, I didn't know they were there. She didn't even know she was cutting the sponge. And her hand was right behind it. Thank the Lord it didn't cut through and cut her hand. And so my mother showed her the right way. She found out she was wrong. And you know what she did? She changed the way she did it. She was smart enough to do that. We should be smart enough to know if my ideas disagree with the Word of God is always right. And we change what it is we believe. And so God is not saying in this scripture that it's wrong to have riches or, you know, work out or obtain natural goods. But what I am saying, what the scripture is saying here, is the greatest thing we can do is know God, to know about him and to know his word. This is what happens when you know God. You grow and you become more happy because you have more peace in your life. Have you ever had drama in your life for such a long time? And because drama will sneak in sometimes. And it will sneak in slowly, and it will build, and it will build, and it will build. And then all of a sudden, you've had enough. And you cut out the drama. Sometimes it means people. Sometimes it means places. Sometimes it means things. You know, whatever it means for your life, you get rid of it. And then all of a sudden, you live drama free. I remember I had a lot of drama in my life at one time, and I got rid of it. And oh my goodness, I mean, how in the world did I live? And I've got such to a place where I protect me and my family. I don't allow drama. You bring drama into my house, you won't bring it very much. You bring drama into my life all the time. You won't bring it in my personal life. Now, if you have drama in your life, we'll help you get rid of it. I'll talk with you. I'll cry with you the first time. But you know what? I found out people get upset with me sometimes because I'll cry with them the first time. And I'll listen to them probably up to three times, unless you caught me on a bad day. Don't act like you don't ever have one. But about the third time, I'm going to start telling you what your butt needs to do to get rid of it. If it's the third time you've told me the same problem, we're going to have a discussion of how you need to get out of it. And it might not be clear to you. That's what's so funny. People, a lot of times, it's not clear to them how to get out. But people on the outside can look and it's very clear. Have you ever noticed that? But the same thing is with our life. A lot of times, it's not clear what we need to do, but somebody on the outside can see very clearly. And sometimes we get offended. No, I know, I'm not talking to you. I'm trying to help you with other people, right? I'm trying to help you with other people. I know you don't get offended at me, right? I never say a word that offends you. No. You say, be like, Pastor's never offended me. Go ahead and say that out loud. Some of you was like, oh, I don't know if I can say that. In Jesus' name, all right? All right, there we go. And so in all of this, you know, some people get offended when you tell them what they need to do. And can I say this too? Most people already know what they need to do. Most people absolutely know what they need to do, but they don't want to do what they need to do. Most people don't need any more knowledge of the word of what they need to do. They need to apply the knowledge they already have. I'm convinced the body of Christ will be in a greater place if we just applied the knowledge we already have. People are always looking for a new word. How about apply the word you already have? All right. Let's turn to Isaiah 46 and 10. So what we're talking about is the sovereignty of God. And God does what he wants. God didn't have a daddy God and a mommy God. I met someone who believed that God had a daddy God and a mommy God. Now, they didn't have a whole lot of word on the inside of them, so we'll grant them grace. And I said, God has always been here. No, he hasn't. Well, then, how did God get here? His daddy and his mama, just like everybody else does. They're like, okay. And where did they come from? Well, their daddy and their mama. And so how many gods do we have with daddies and mamas who are gods? Or was it like Spider-Man? Jesus got bit by active spider or irradiated spider. And then that's how we got his powers. Is that the way it worked? And they're like, don't make me sound stupid. I'm like, well, you don't need any help. That was a good friend of mine. I could speak like that with him. I don't speak like that to people I don't know well.
All right.
Now, you know, there is different. You should treat people differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fair. You got to treat it. No. You don't got to treat everybody the same. I am very thankful that Jesse treats me different than everybody else. I am very thankful of that. God commands her to do so. Bam, bam, bam. Whew. Well, we could go home and say we had church. Have you been to Isaiah 46 and 10? Yes. All right. So God does what he wants. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. And God does right. God always does right. And I'm going to answer a couple things. And I want to say this so I don't forget it. And if I do forget it, remind me. Are you ready? Have you ever read where it says God repented? I'm going to explain that to you today. That used to concern me when I was a kid. God repented? God repented? How does God repent? We're going to get into that. Because God is right always, right? He never makes a mistake. So how can he repent? Because it doesn't mean the same way we think it means. We repent because what? We do what?
Wrong.
God's never done wrong. All right. Just people's brains started going... I see it in the audience right now. So Isaiah 46 and 10, are you ready? Yeah. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God does what he wants. Look at your neighbor and says, God does what he wants. Turn with me to Psalms 135. We're going to read there. And then we're going to go to Daniel 4. So Psalms 135, and then Daniel 4. When you get to a psalm, say amen. They are fast, aren't they? They're even faster than you got an electronic Bible. How amazing. I love when I say turn to your Bibles and there's a glow among the crowd. Just me. I think technology was created for the advancement of the kingdom, don't you? And if you use it wrong, you're just not using it for the purpose it was made for. Psalms 135 and verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleases, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. That lets me know God did whatever he wanted that pleased him. In the heavens, in the earth, the seas, and all the deep places. Every fish that was ever created was created because it pleased the Lord. He's quite a creative person. Well, I say person in a loosely form. Quite a creative spirit, because that's what he is. He's a creative God. He's more creative than I am. I can't come up with that many colors. If I created the world, it probably would be in black and white, because I like those two colors together. They match. And I guarantee if I wear black and white, I always match. I used to think I knew how to match colors. I did, until I dressed my daughter for the first time. And my wife told me that it didn't match. And I said, it's pink shirt and pink pants. How can it not match? She said, they're different shades of pink. I'm like, so you're telling me I have to match the shades of pink? And she's like, yes. And then this is what she did. Now she hangs up pre-approved daddy outfits. With bows and everything hanging on them. And then she had to learn to put the bow on the hanger. Because she put the bow on the shirt one time and it was this humongous flower. And I thought, what a weird place to put a flower. And I let my daughter outside and play with her hair bow pinned to her shirt. I thought it was part of the shirt. That is a true story. And when Jesse got there, she's like, why is her hair bow on her shirt? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she took it off and said, this is a hair bow. They're like, it looked good on the shirt. I knew it was awfully big. I thought it was a little weird. But I thought it was pre-approved by you. I thought it was fine. The good news is when God pre-approves something, it is fine. And so everything that God created gave him pleasure, and he did it for his own purpose. Now, this was great too. There are things that he created that he said, it pleased God to please man. Isn't that wonderful? It pleased God to please mankind. He said the things that he created on this earth was to please mankind, and that pleased the Lord. So God created everything. Why? Because it pleased him. So if somebody, why did God create the universe? It pleased him. That is the simplest answer you can give. There's some people who try to make things difficult that are not difficult. Why did God create all the stars? Let's get into the, you know, I've watched Christian programs that would bore me out of my mind. Talking about stuff that doesn't matter, and that they're trying to come up with a reason to sound really smart. And the smartest answer is he created it because it pleased him. He created you because it pleased him. He knew you were coming. He prepared a family for you. He prepared a place for you. And he put you in Wisconsin with fried cheese and sweet corn. Oh, dear God. I didn't know what corn was until I moved here. No, don't get me wrong. I knew what corn was. But corn never tasted like corn tastes here. You know what? I'm convinced that the Midwest keeps the good corn and they ship out the crappy corn. They're like, Florida, you get all the sun and you get crappy corn. That's exactly what the Midwest does to the rest of the nation. I remember when I bit into the corn here, I'm like, did they just like sprinkle this with sugar? They're like, no, this is what corn tastes like. They're like, ha. It was amazing. Turn with me. Did you find Daniel yet? I told you, you got to flip to Daniel chapter 4. Oh, see, somebody listen. I give you this stuff on purpose. Daniel 4 and 35. It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none shall stay. Some of your translations say stop. That is proper, stop. None can stay or stop his hand or say unto him, why dost thou? So you can look at a mountain and say, why dost thou? You probably would word it a little bit different. But you look at the Grand Canyon. Why, God? Why? Is there a higher reason? And it just basically says no one can stop him. And that he didn't have to ask anybody for permission. He did it because it pleased him. And if it pleases you, and have you ever looked at the Grand Canyon? It pleases me. Pleases you? And I've heard some people take helicopter tours down through it, and it pleases them. God created some things. The Bible tells us just to please mankind. But the great thing about it is pleasing mankind pleased him. You should just say that out loud. Pleasing mankind, pleases God. That's awesome. I'm convinced that God created popsicles just so I would enjoy them. I can eat. Now, this is what's terrible. I went to the grocery store. We went to camp, right? I went to the grocery store, and I bought a lot of popsicles. But I brought those rockets, you know, the red, white, and blue ones. Mmm, good stuff. Good stuff. And so we took the whole box, right? And I gave one to my daughter, and I gave one to my niece. And that's all that's in the vehicle. And I eat a lot of them. They eat maybe one or two, and I eat all of them that are in the box except for, like, two. And I get home and I tell them, now, this is our secret. We don't need to tell, right? And my niece tells my daughter, hey, don't tell. She looks at me, she's going to tell. She's going to tell. I mean, like, she normally does. But maybe just this one time, she won't tell. And they're like, okay. My niece goes straight to my wife and tells her that I ate like seven popsicles. My niece. That's dirty. That is just dirty. But I believe God would have created popsicles if everybody hated them just for me. Because I love it. And I'll tell you, I'm a little weird. My favorite part's the white, which I believe is grape, right? Like, it is so good. But I love popsicles. And God creates some things for no other reason than it just brings you pleasure. It brings you pleasure. Think of something that brings you pleasure. God created that just for you. It brings him pleasure to bring you pleasure. And your pleasure may be weird in several different ways. Your pleasure may be canning. I don't can. Never understood. How many people in this place cans? Hey, be proud. Be proud. Raise it high. I want to see a higher hand. All right. Look around, everybody. Look around at all our canners. That's weird, y'all. That is weird. Now, I appreciate when you bring me your weird pleasures because it brings me pleasures. It brings me pleasure. Like y'all made jam before. I don't even like jam, but I like real jam. Like store jam, I don't eat store jam. And that jam they put at the table at whatever breakfast place you go to, I don't eat that jam. But I have eaten, and somebody brought me some jalapeno jam. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a moment for the Lord right here. Father, we thank you for jalapeno jam. I think it was orange and jalapeno. Was that right? Are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me, Jess? Because it's good. It brings me pleasure. And so that might be weird for you to can all this stuff, but if it brings you pleasure, it brings God pleasure, because none of it would exist without the Lord's prior knowledge and will. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand, is everything that was created and everything that exists is here because of God. Now, mankind has used his creations wrong. God has never meant them for wrong, and God has never used them wrong. All right, look at your neighbor and say, God has never used any of his creation wrong. All right, when we decide to do something, when God decides to do something, he's just going to do it. Now, how can this help us? How can God's sovereignty help us? I'm glad you asked. If you know God's will, if you know God's will for your life, and it's in his word, you can walk it out, and you can agree with the will of God, and the will of God will come to pass. And we can and should be learning about God. God's sovereignty, I want to say this, God's sovereignty is the exercise of God's supremacy. You know, and I've had people disagree with me on this. Animals have supremacy. They have sovereignty. All right, I see, I knew this would get some questions. Animals have sovereignty. And I've had people say, no, animals don't have sovereignty. Yes, they do. I can prove it. Have you ever left a dog alone, untrained, an untrained dog in your home? He will redecorate your house. And he will tell you how much he hates your pillows. And he'll tell you how much he hates your blinds. He makes a decision that he would not make with you around. And if he was trained properly. They make decisions. No, they're just like, no. They make decisions. Animals make decisions. What level that goes to, I don't know. I don't know what level that goes to. And I've had people tell me that animals won't be in heaven. Hogwash. We read it. They will go to heaven. And not all dogs go to hell. Some of them do. I've met those that do. I've met some dogs that will definitely go to hell. I am convinced of it. And I've met dogs that will be in heaven. Now, I don't know where the deciding factor goes and where the decision-making is. I have no idea. But I know they have sovereign will. They have sovereignty. They make decisions. And they exercise their authority over each other. And there's even rankings in them. You know what? A lion can have greater superiority to a zebra. Have you watched that on the National Geographic? My daughter found out and cried watching Disney World or whatever it is that seagulls have greater superiority and greater will than newborn turtles. She cried and cried. And she's, Mommy, make them stop. Make them stop. And she watched a little bird swoop down and kill the turtles. Now, mankind has authority over animals. God has given us a certain part of sovereignty. And then angels have a certain part of sovereignty. And now they've already gone through their decision-making process. And then there's God who has sovereignty over everything that he's created. God has more sovereignty than any of his creation. So that means what God has purposed and planned in his sovereignty. We're going to get into sovereignty versus grace for a moment. But God has, what he has put into his sovereign will, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Antichrist. The church can try to stop the Antichrist from coming. It's not going to happen. If people, now this will never happen, but if the people of God and angels come together and say, hey, I got an idea. Let's stop the Antichrist from coming. Us working together, we can do it. Can't happen. Because that is in God's sovereign will. He already said it's going to happen. And nothing can derail it. Nothing can stop it. Okay? Got that? Oh, that's good. Now, I got this question. I want to answer this. I think this is good. Does God choose to do things because they are right? Does God choose to do things because they're right? No. He does not choose to do things because they're right. I'll put it this way. God can't do wrong. It's not in him. I use this example for other things. I've used this about God doesn't have the equipment to lie. God doesn't have the equipment to do anything wrong. If I'll use you. Stand up for me. Tell everybody your name, Lewis. I know, but go ahead. Okay, there we go. So if Lewis decided, and he's not, Lewis is all dude. Lewis has been working out. He's buffing up. He's getting tall. He's trying to get taller than me. He's very close. And his hair has not, just because it's spiked up does not mean he succeeded in being high. He's very close, and he's going to surpass me. I'm confident of it. He's going to surpass me. But if Lewis decided, you know what? I see my mom, and she's had so many kids, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She glows with this beauty, and life carries on the inside of her, and she carries life. I want to carry life one day. I want to be pregnant. You don't want to be pregnant, do you, Lewis? No. Lewis has no desire to be pregnant. But if Lewis wanted to be pregnant, it would never change the fact that he can't. He doesn't have the equipment to be pregnant. And if God, when all his decisions, he does not have the equipment to do anything wrong. He doesn't make a decision because it's right. He makes the decision because he's God and everything he does is right. Thank you, Lewis. You can have a seat. So God does not make a decision just because it's right. You know what? I would like to do this for mankind because it's right. No, everything God does is right. So let's talk about repentance. Ready? God has repented, right? It says in the Bible, God has repented. Now, God did not repent because he did wrong. God repented because the circumstances changed. God repented. We find out one part of it is where God was going to destroy all mankind. And Moses, right? And he says he repented. And Noah, he was destroying all the world. It was because the heart of men has changed, not because God changed. So God went from doing right and changed and did right again. And the word uses repentance. Now for mankind, is we repent because we have done wrong and we turn from our ways. Because really, repenting means turning from your ways. So God had a plan for the earth that was right. Mankind repented and turned from their ways, and then God turned from his. And he was right, and he turned, and he was still right. The only thing that changed was man, not God. And we see this, we're like, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, good. Let's keep talking about this for a second then. God sent a prophet to somebody and said, you only have so many days before you die, bub. Yeah. And what did the guy do? He fell on his face. He repented. And then God spared his life. And then the prophet got upset. Isn't it just like mankind to get upset when God changes things? God, you made me look like a fool. I said this, and now you're not taking his life. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? But that's really why I got mad. God repented. He turned from his ways. God was at this track, was on path. And that person repented and God turned. Turns. You better be thankful because God repented in your life. You were headed toward destruction. That was the path you were on. And that was the wheel for your life. Not because God chose that wheel, because you chose that wheel. And when you repented, God turned and said, now my favor is upon them. God didn't change. You did. You did. And you're going to get more of the blessings of God than you've ever had in your life before. And it doesn't mean that God repented from not giving you all the blessing. It just means you're getting in line with the Lord, and the Lord hasn't done, he's just moving to do more good. And the path you were on, he was doing good. The path you're on now, he's still doing good. So God turns, but it's not because of him, it's because of you. Did that answer it, or are you just more confused now than you've ever been? You're thinking, anyone confused? Let's be honest. I'll try to explain it in a better manner. Okay, either you lied to me or you got it. I'm going to believe you got it. So, God doesn't choose certain things because they're right. He chooses them because he is always right. Now, if we don't do right, I've already said this in our offering, if we don't do right, it is the spirit of the Antichrist because it's anti-God. And so if you don't want to have the spirit of Antichrist, the Bible said that the day Jesus was hung on the cross, that the spirit of Antichrist was here, even at that day. Even at that day, Paul says, in the beginning, the spirit of Antichrist has always been here. And so we don't want to be participating in the spirit of Antichrist, do we? No. And so we line ourselves up with the things that are right. Now, Satan, the defeated one, is the first one we have record of doing wrong. He turned against what was right, and then Adam followed in his footsteps, and Eve did. They turned from what's right. Now, God is absolute. What God has done is absolute, but what he has done is not necessarily absolute. See, I knew this scripture was going to make our minds go tilt a little bit. Everything God does is absolute, but not everything he does is absolute. I'll give you an example, the sun. We ain't going to have it forever. It's going to burn out and it's going to go away. Other stars have already disappeared. There are some stars that we look at today, the light, that are no longer even there. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. Is that there are some lights that are flickering, and they'll even tell you, there's charts online that if it's flickering a blue or if it's flickering white or if it's this color, it will tell you how old the star is and how long it has left. And it'll tell you if that star, the color that you see, it will tell you if that star is even still in existence today. It could have burned out millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, I don't know, whatever they say burned out. And it's not even there anymore, but you're still seeing the light from it. And so some of the creation, this world will be destroyed. This world is not absolute. It will be burned to a crisp. It will melt to nothing. And then God will recreate it. So God is absolute, but all his creation is not. This flesh, not absolute. This flesh will be destroyed. Made from dust will return to dust. And then that dust will be melted away. Do you see what I'm saying? God is absolute. What he does is absolute. But not everything he does is absolute. Y'all still going tilt a little bit? I'm believing that God will give you all of what I'm trying to say at the very end. I know you're thinking about some stuff that's really deep here, but I want to say this. God's sovereignty a lot of times is confused with God's grace. They're two different things. And some people will think some things are God's sovereignty, and they're not. There's whole denominations that believe salvation is sovereign. It's not sovereign. And the Bible is very clear that it's not sovereign. Where does it tell us that? Anyone? Ooh, not everybody yell it out all at once. I have down here, where? I heard someone say that, I thought. Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians 2, chapter 8. When you get that for me, pop it up on my screen. Ephesians 2 and 8 states this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now, where was this gift given to us? On the what? On the cross. If we have to receive it by faith, it is not sovereign. It is grace. It is grace. Your salvation is not sovereign. It is given by grace through faith. Anything that you receive through faith is by grace. Say that after me. Anything you receive by faith is grace. Let's say it together. Anything you receive by grace is faith. Okay? Anything you receive by faith is grace. It works both ways. So, if you have to use your faith to receive it, it's grace, not the sovereign will. Think about it. We can put this salvation, okay? Well, let's put this in there. For by grace are you healed through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When you get healed, it's not that mankind. You know, like, if we pray for you and you get instantaneous healed, it's not because your pastor's so awesome. Which I think he is. Thank you. That's not why you received it. It's by faith and grace. You get it? So, if you think about it, if it's a work of the cross and it's something that you have received and you got to use your faith for, it's not God's sovereign will. It's God's grace. But some denominations have said that's how they get to the point where they say people who will go to hell, that's the will of God. Nope. It's not the will of God. Now, it is a law of God that God put in because he said, I wish, this is how we can combat that. It says, I wish, God is speaking here, I wish that all would come to the knowledge of God. All that would come to knowledge of Jesus Christ and of the salvation. Will everybody get saved? No, because it is a work of the cross. It's by grace. Now, Antichrist, sovereign will. The end of this world being destructed, burned up, sovereign will. Oh, let's even go to this. How many of you have ever seen a gift of the Spirit in operation and you say, that's amazing, I would love to do that? How about one minister I'm thinking of right now. He speaks in tongues and his wife speaks in tongues and then he interprets. And they'll go a whole sermon, a whole service like that. And they'll hold hands and they look so cute together. And she'll speak in tongues and he'll interpret it. How many times have you seen me and my wife do that? Really? We haven't done that once, Jess? Wow. You know why? Because gifts of God are in his sovereign will. That's sovereignty. Not everybody can flow in every gift. The Bible tells us that. You don't believe me? I want you to read, not right now because you don't have time, but read, what is it, Corinthians? Is it 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, right? Huh? 1 Corinthians? All right, thank you for bringing that back up to my attention. The Corinthians, so 1 Corinthians, read that. It talks about the sovereign will of God and that some of us are toes, some of us are hands. Well, I want to be a hand. Why do I not get to stand in front of people and speak in tongues and the whole church look at me? That's probably why, because that's your attitude, is that you want to receive glory for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That's a preach. That's a whole sermon by itself. And God, it says these gifts are in operation as the Spirit wills. And can I say something? Just because you prophesied once or twice does not mean that you're a prophet. Your pastor has prophesied under the Spirit of the Lord, has prophesied, I'm no prophet. That is not my gift and not my calling. Just because you operate in it once or twice or every once in a while does not mean that that's who you are and what you are. That's good. Sometimes you were the only willing vessel that would do something. And so sometimes you had to be the one that being used as the Spirit wills it. So there are some things that the Spirit wills that you don't receive by faith. Lord, I'm believing by faith in the name of Jesus Christ this morning that I'll speak in tongues and interpret. No, that doesn't come by faith. That's as the Spirit wills. Okay? And I said this, I want to say this again. The place, I put this on Twitter and Facebook yesterday. The place of greatest happiness is being in the middle of God's will, not putting him in the middle of yours. Now, somebody got ticked off at me at that. Oh, yeah, isn't that funny? They said, you want to know what's wrong with that statement? I wanted to be very smart and be like, enlighten me. Enlighten me, please. I love when people enlighten me out of this spirit. And they said, you can't put a round or a square peg in a round hole. God doesn't fit in your wheel. And I just responded, that was my point. Because when you try to fit God in your will, he doesn't fit. And that's why you can't get happiness. The greatest happiness and the greatest joy is when you fit into God's will. And then you know how they responded to that? They responded, all we need to know is that anything out of faith is sin. And I wanted to put back, I left it alone because I saw right there that I was arguing with someone who didn't care, who was just argumentative. And I wanted to put on there, you make me laugh. You make me laugh. But I couldn't put that because I knew it would start a bigger argument. And that's what's the problem with social media. It gives someone a voice that no one else would listen to. No one would listen to those people if it wasn't for social media. And those who do, ignore them. Because that's what I do. I hit ignore. And I don't listen to those people anymore. That just speaks junk that nobody would listen to. What if I went around all day? Today I ate a great bacon sandwich with eggs. Here's a photo. People would think I was nuts. And I'm not saying you can't, because if it's pecan pie, I'd listen to you. And if you had a picture, I'd sit there and drool with you. And there's some things that people, if you go around speaking enough crazy junk, somebody will join you. And so I'm not, so don't get me like, I gotta go home and delete all my pictures of food. No. Sometimes I like seeing your food, especially if it's smoked. Praise him. And if it took some time and it looks good, I don't mind looking at it. But if I just have to see your meal every day, I don't really care. All right, just letting you know. But so in this, you know, there's people, I don't know why people's got to argue. There's no point in arguing over something like that. That's ridiculous. It's childish. It's I've got to be right, and I've got to say this, and I've got to do that, and I know more than you. You know what? People who normally know more than you normally just shut up. Because they realize it ain't worth arguing with you. And the Bible even puts it this way. Are you ready? Don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, I'm not calling you a pig. God is. So if the snout oinks, it just fits. You know? And I love pigs. They turn into bacon. All right? And so the Bible tells us that some things are not worth arguing over. Because you know what a pig does to pearls? Nothing. He stomps them down. He doesn't see the value. And so there's some people that do not see the value of the Word of God. Or they're just so caught up in them being right that it doesn't even matter if you prove them wrong. They're so caught up in being right, they would stomp your right underneath their wrong. They would refuse to see it. So, you know, people like that, you just let them be pigs. Let them be pigs. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let me say this too. 2 Corinthians 10:12, don't turn there. But 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us not to compare ourselves with others. It tells us that it's not wise, that it's actually foolish. So don't compare yourself. Don't compare your wives. Don't compare your husbands. Amen. Don't do that stuff. Because it's not right and it's wrong. And all it's going to do is depress you. It does. So we don't compare ourselves. We leave it to God's sovereign will. So I don't compare my giftings and callings to other people's gifts and calls. They're different. They're different. And be happy that God uses you. Amen. And be happy that you are in his sovereign will. The hand has a point. The toe has a point. The foot has a point. Legs have a point. We all have a point in the body of Christ. Get in your position. Amen. Feel it and let God use you right where you are. Because let me tell you something. Service is better with all you hear. Service is better with the whole church here. Do you want a church not to be that great? Don't show up and don't give your supply. When you pull on the gift of God, when you hear listening, when you supply your gift, you have a point to this body. You have a point to this church. And when God places you here, when you show up, church is better because you're here giving a supply. So don't think, oh, well, if I stay home today, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it is. You affect our service. You affect our service. And guess what? Some people get saved because you create an atmosphere that they're able to hear, that peace enters them. Have you ever heard some, I come to church and oh, I just feel so different. I hear it, it's so clear. I've never felt this way before. You caused that to happen. Why? Because you showed up and you gave your supply. You are important to this body. So if I say home, it doesn't really matter, not once. Oh, yeah, it does. Now, I understand you can't be here every Sunday. But you should sure heck try, right? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody shake your head yes at me. Yes. Yes. I saw this one. I'm going to think that was a, oh, God, I miss the next service. I have vacation. So just cancel your vacation. You understand. I'm joking. All right. Did y'all find 1 Corinthians 10? Therefore hath no 10:13. Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as in common to man. Thank God, you ain't facing nothing new. Nobody's yes, they have. I'm just so well. Someone else has been there. No, yeah, they have. Yeah, they have. But I'm so but someone else has been there too. And you know what? Something else is interesting. Nothing that you're tempted with. Does the Bible tell us that Jesus Christ wasn't tempted with it himself? Now, it's different, but the behind it is the same. You might not have ever, you know, Jesus probably never was tempted to take his bass boat out and miss a Sunday service. But you guarantee there was a Saturday, because he didn't go to church on Sunday, but a Saturday that he was tempted to sleep in or not get up or not go at all. That same temptation was there. The circumstances around it was different. But the Bible tells us Jesus was tempted in every way man is tempted. With everything. The circumstances around it may be different. But the root of it is absolutely 100% the same. Somebody has been tempted and is facing the same problem that you're facing. It's not, you're not by yourself, and you're not the first one. All right? I need a response. Amen. Amen. Okay. But God is faithful. Who's faithful?
God.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Oh, we should shout right there. God will not allow more temptation to come to us than we are able to handle. Guess what? Sovereign will. You don't have to receive that by faith. That's sovereign. That's a law that cannot be changed. So if you're facing something, say, I can't handle it. Yes, you can. The fact that it's on you right now, the fact that you're facing it right now is fact that you can handle it. And if you couldn't handle it, God would not allow it. But with the temptation, now let me just say this. I heard someone think this. It's not the will of God that you be tempted that way. It's not from God. Let me rephrase that. It's not from God. Your temptation didn't come from Him. He's not doing this purposely to tempt you. He didn't bring the problem in to tempt you. Problems are not brought to our attention because, you know, things are great. Or, you know, that, oh, well, all of a sudden it's come because God is blessing me. No, the problem has always been there. Whatever is coming to show that problem, it's just bringing something to the surface that always was there that we haven't dealt with. Okay? All right. Let's keep going here. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also makes a way of escape. Thank you, Lord, for the way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, if an enemy was able to try to tempt you with something greater than you could handle, God would not let it happen. It is the sovereign will of God for that not to be the case. God, I've heard people say, God, could you just please pray that God would stop this from coming? Guess what? If it's there, you're able to handle it. And if you can't handle it, God can. And you will have victory over it. And if you keep your trust in God, you can handle it. He will make sure of it. And when it gets too strong, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. I've gone too long this morning, so we're just going to stop right there and go before God. Father, we thank you for your sovereign will in our lives.